Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
God is an awesome God. And he has great things in store for us. I'm just convinced. A couple of ways you can know that in your personal life, that God is doing things in your life and that he's approving of your life, that he's ministering to you, that he's got his hand upon you, got his anointing upon you, all those kind of terms that we use to describe God's activity in our personal lives. All those things are accomplished for a purpose. God has a reason for what he's doing in your life. And as you become more and more aware that the things that you're experiencing has God's hand on it, some of the ways that you know that that's God's hand on you is when trouble comes. One of the rules we have in this church, as I try to warn people, you see, I'm not one that just likes to get people saved and saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and on their way to heaven, and then never warn them what this is going to be like. I wish somebody would have told me what being a Christian was going to be like when I first became a Christian. I might have gone another direction, I don't know, but it would have been nice to know what was ahead of you. And I assure you, there is a cross to bear. Every Christian is going to bear a cross. That's not a bad thing. It just has bad things come along with it. Because the enemy is afraid of you. He's dearly, dearly, dearly afraid of your potential. He's afraid of your ability to make quilts and touch people's lives. He's afraid of your ability to be an influence in a positive way for the kingdom of God. He's afraid of you. And I don't know if you're afraid of him, but you need not be afraid of the enemy. But that's a pretty good sign that God has his hand on you if the enemy is attacking you. Amen? So we always try to warn people, hey, if you're going to do something for Jesus Christ, please count the cost. Because there's always going to be a price to pay for doing anything for Jesus Christ. There's no price to pay to get saved and go to heaven. That's all been guaranteed to you by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And in addition to that, of course, the infilling of the Holy Spirit to give you power to overcome the enemy and overcome, by the way, yourself. Because yourself wants you to go back to the way you were. But the power of the Holy Spirit helps you to continue to walk and be faithful to Christ. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, if you're under attack today and the enemy has been just trying to discourage you and life looks like it's dealt you a bad hand and you were trying to draw to an inside straight and missed it, that's really not the way it is. The enemy, his job and his goal and his vision is to destroy the church and to destroy each individual in the church. And he's successful in some situations, and it's interesting. But not everything is bad. There's some pretty awesome things that happen in the purposing of God and what God intends for us. And he's based it on probably the most endearing means avenues be successful for Christ. He's based his whole program of ministering to us on two scriptures. So let me read them for you. It's in the book of John. Does anybody know where the book of John is? Well, there's several chapters there. See if you can find the 13th, will you? And I'd like to read the 34th and the 35th verses. You all know it. But I want to read it on purpose this morning, knowing that you know it. If you've read the Bible, and I'm sure you've been through the Gospel of John, anybody that has ever advised you as a Christian to you as a young Christian will have probably encouraged you to read the Gospel of John first. Never read the Bible like you read most books, and that is begin at the beginning and read to the end, because it'll take you a while to get to John, and you need John. You need John in your heart. And so I want to encourage you, if you've not been serving the Lord a good length of time, or even if you have, I don't care, but if you're a young Christian especially, read the Gospel of John, because you get the true and pure picture of what God's motives are and what his purposes are and what his desire is for you. Are you with me? Amen? How many of you have been Christians a long time? How many of you still appreciate, even though you've been serving the Lord a long time, still appreciate the fact that God loves you? Okay, that's pretty easy, isn't it? So that's not a major revelation to you. But listen to this. I hope to encourage you this morning, and I hope to give you some understanding this morning of what God's doing and how He's doing it and where He's taking you. Because I believe in you, and I believe God has convinced not only me, but He's beginning and trying to convince you all along in your Christian walk that He has confidence in you as well. Begin in verse 34. Listen to what it says. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. But that's just a good two verses, isn't it? Does that express it well enough? When I read that, I know you guys, some of you guys are brilliant. But sometimes you need to be reassured and reconfirmed that God loves you. And I think He expresses that. But that's not what He's talking about entirely. He's expressing that He loved the disciples. We understand that. And that He's transferring now the responsibility of that to the disciples, that they love one another just as Jesus Christ loved them. I don't know about you, but I've had a tough time as a Christian loving other Christians as Jesus loved us. Hello? Anybody with me? Come on, I don't want to be the only one sinking in this boat here. But it's true, isn't it? One of the most difficult things in life is dealing with other people. Even dealing with your family, husbands, wives, children. Life is full of problems because people are full of problems. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Problems can be solved because there's an answer to all problems. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in you will be the answer to all your problems. It doesn't mean you will not have problems. It means that you will conquer your problems with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to me. It's a very interesting thing. I think almost every Christian is told how much God loves them. And I think it's important that they also know that this verse insists that we should love one another. Christians should love one another. And I think that's the motivation, that's the premise, that's the basis for everything that God does. Everything that God does is based on this truth. He loves us. He loved you when you were a sinner. He loved you when you didn't know Him. He loved you from the beginning of time. When time was, in fact, before time began, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, we need to create man here. And we know He's going to be faulty because we're going to give Him a free will. He can be able to choose what He wants to, or choose good, choose bad, whatever He wants to do. And we know the whole Garden of Eden thing, but that's irrelevant. Before time began, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit got together. They were never separate, but they had a council. And they said, we're going to have a creation. We're going to create. And we're going to love that creation. And if you read the first part of the Bible, in Genesis, when creation was taking place, God observed every day what He had done. And every day, it was good. And why was it good? Because a good God created it, and He loved His creation. Let me ask you something. When you create something, quilts or whatever it is, and you're proud of your creation, isn't there a certain something that happens inside of you? Pride, perhaps. Not that negative pride where you're arrogant and unrighteous and all that, but that kind of pride that wells up within you when you've done a good thing and you've done it for the right reasons and for the right purposes. Well, that is an indicator for us for a couple of things. One, when everything went wrong in the Garden of Eden, it did not prevent God from loving us. In fact, it motivated Him probably to love us more. In fact, back before that, He knew we were going to fail. And so He devised the plan. The whole plan of salvation was created prior to creation. And so that indicates to us, and to me, I hope to you as well, that when God began His purposes, He knew Adam was going to fail. He knew in advance all the things that have gone negative in this world. He knew in advance that things would happen. But He still had in His hope and His desire that someone, some person, some individual would say, you are my God, and I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to love you, and have a relationship with you. Well, I know, God knows, and I think you understand, that God knows that since we have a free will, the potential is there that nobody would ever serve Him. But yet there's also the potential that all people would serve him if he made a means and made provision for them to be able to serve him. Because it was obvious that we can't serve him because of the Adam and Eve issue. The very first couple blew it. Hello? We didn't get very far in trying to show dedication and commitment to God. And so today we stand in an interesting crossroads. I think we stand at a time in history where we can make a major difference as an individual in the kingdom of God and in the purposes of God. That's why I think these things are just wonderful indicators of how God has worked and how God continues to work to produce in us what his original plan was. His original plan was for you to be his people and for himself to be your God. That was his original plan. That plan has never changed. And what's so awesome about it is that he has tailor-made his plan to meet your needs, to meet your purposes, to meet whatever your spiritual, physical needs might be. His purposes have been intended to make you the best and most unique person you can be. And so what I think happens to us somewhere along the line is we fail to realize that God really is in charge. Well, it's not the amount of power and in charge that we allow him to have. That's true in us as a person. But God is still in charge. God is still the creator. God has all power. And trust me, in less than a blinking of an eye, he can change all things. He can change this whole planet. He could, as he told Moses, hey, listen, I'm going to kill all these people. And I'm going to raise up another nation with you. And he certainly could have done that. Thank God Moses that he prayed and interceded for Israel. Otherwise, Israel would have been wiped off the map and they would be called Mosenites or something. You know what I'm saying? So what excites me about what God is doing is that he is just as active and just as powerful today and just as purposeful and just as intentional as he ever was in history. And in fact, I think the wickedness of our times, whether our time right now or any time, but especially our times, I think the wickedness of our time increases the activity and the abundance of God's work and intention. I think God wants to do more in our day than he's ever done before. In fact, I think he's wanting to do more in this church than he's ever done before in this church. I think we stand at a very interesting, not just because it's near Christmas and near New Year's, but because I think God is moving the way he moves. And here's an interesting note you need to put on the side. Don't try to be like anybody else. You know what God gets tired of doing? Try to get that baloney out of your mind. You're not Billy Graham. You're not any other great minister person. I tried to get rid of this a long time ago. In fact, I had an interesting experience. I had a minister that I tried to, and I've shared this before, tried to emulate. I thought he was just a cool. I thought his manners. So I started preaching like I thought like he preached. And another minister came to me and mentored me a little bit. He said, listen, man, you got to stop trying to be like Brother Phillips and just be yourself. Because God uses you. He moves through you uniquely. He moves through you differently than everybody. And so you can have all kinds of teachings and doctrines and stuff that teach you how to prophesy and how to pray for the sick and how to preach the gospel and all of these things. But you've got to realize those things are all true for every minister or every Christian. But they apply differently to you because you're a completely different personality. You are so unique, you're the only one of you ever created in time. And that's why we stand in a place today so unique and so ominous and so glorious before us that if we could embrace just the tail end of that, God would use you as an individual more uniquely and he would use his church more uniquely and more powerfully and more intentionally. And the purposes he would have in mind is so that his love would reign supreme in you, in me, in this church, and in this world. Whether you believe it or not, at this point, because a lot of the signs look the other way, but the truth of the matter is there's going to come a day when this world is going to be reigned and ruled by a righteous king whose motivation is love. He's going to be a benevolent king. Oh, yes, he'll have his rules. You can't just go out and kill people. Can't just go out and steal your neighbor's horse. In that kingdom, they may still hang you. I don't know, but But there's going to be rules, which we need rules, folks. We need parameters. We need to know what's right and wrong before God. Nevertheless, we oftentimes are confused about some of this. Because I've seen Christians, people that say they're Christian, do horrendous things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of which was of God ever. So where's the disconnect? I don't know, and I'm not intending to even go that direction this morning. I want to talk about the great transfer. I want to talk about what God has transferred to us. And it starts in the beginning. The grand scheme of all things God, unless there's a plan, there can never be a completion to anything. And so there is a plan. God has established the plan. It's a personal vision that he has of what the world should be, what the creation should be, and who should be in the creation. Everyone in the creation will be a volunteer. You volunteer to go to heaven. Nobody's forced to go to heaven. Nobody's forced to go to church. Except when you're a little kid, your mom and dad make you go. Amen? Nobody's forced to do anything for God. I do what I do because I love God. And I love what God does in his people. And I love to see how God brings a group of people with so many diverse backgrounds into one place on Sunday morning so that his presence and his power can begin to flow into our lives. And he does it uniquely. He uses every one of our singers, every one of our testifiers, every one of our ministries, and even the pastor now and then gets used by God. And he does that for this purpose. And I'm the pastor because my personality fits what his purpose is here. If I ever get to the point where my personality does not fit with what God wants to do, guess what God's going to do? We need a new pastor. You follow what I'm saying? And so here's a problem that happens in the kingdom of God, which is an interesting problem. People who are spirit-filled people, they're very interesting and they're very wacky. And so being the pastor, I must be the biggest wacky one here, right? But this is interesting. When God does give you a gift, listen to me carefully because this is important. Because I know the grand scheme of things, God has an initial plan to the world. The initial plan to the world is to come and come into the flesh and dwell among us so that we can personally know our God. That's what Jesus was all about. That's what the advent of Jesus Christ was all about. We'll talk more about that, of course, next Sunday. But that's what the purpose. I'm coming down here to show you the way to get to heaven, to get your sins forgiven, to get right with me. I'm going to come down there and live it out before you so you'll know the way to live so that you can be right where I want you to be and right with me. That's what the Advent was all about. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And so he came initially to let the world know him personally and the way of salvation. That was the original intention. But the interesting thing is, he gives gifts to men. The problem with giving gifts to men is that they possess them instead of understanding what God's gifts are. God's gifts to men are not gifts that you own. They're ways in which God uses you to benefit and bless other godly people. Hello? And so if you have a gift of giving or a gift of speaking in tongues interpretation, whatever gift it is, there's all kinds of gifts in the New Testament. One of the biggest problems you have to fight and make sure that you're not guilty of is being a gift projector. What are you talking about, wacky? Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. One of the difficulties in receiving a gift from God is that you think everybody else should have that same gift. And that since you have this gift, everybody else should realize the importance of that gift and cooperate with your gift. Am I talking to anybody this morning that knows what I'm talking about? How many of you have either projected or been projected on? You can raise your hand. Hello. Yeah, there's a few of us that'll be admitted. It'll admit it. But does that mean the few hands that were raised there, the rest of you are projectors? And only those who raised their hand were being projected on? And what does that mean? That means that people that have a gift, let's just say I have the gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation. That gift's so important to me because that's how God uses me, and I feel right with God. I feel like God is doing a marvelous thing through me. and that I'm fulfilling the purposes that God has given me this gift for. And so I use that gift as frequently as God makes an opportunity, and that's wonderful. The problem is, if I'm not careful, I'll have this tendency, if people don't respond and cooperate with my gift, I'll begin to think that, hey, you people need to get the gift. You understand what I'm saying? And so part of the kingdom's problems is that we fail to realize that all these gifts are not for us anyway, they're for the glory of God. And that other people are gifted differently. Every one of us are gifted differently. God's purposes are different for every individual, because the second way in which God wants to develop and move in your life and bring purpose into your life is for you and your loved ones and your family to be filled with the power of God. God not only with us, but God in us. God wants to be in your family. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be in all the decisions and the workings and the intimacy and the everything of your life, your family life. He wants to be involved in that. Why? Because His purposes are higher than yours. His desires are that you live higher, that you live better, that you live more intensely, more intentional, more purposeful. I want to live like God wants me to live. That's my purpose of living. I want to be an example to that. And that's not only my drive. My drive is to fulfill the purpose of God. I want to make God happy with how I live and what He's doing in my life. And I want to be receptive to God in me. Amen? And so that's the second big purpose that God has. He wants the whole world to know about Him and know Him. And then for you and your family and anybody else you can influence, He wants you to have God in you, so that you can know the purposes of God. That's why when you look around you here this morning and see other individuals, and some of them you know their lives pretty good, and maybe some of them you don't. Maybe you're fairly new or something, don't know everybody, and that's always a difficult thing when you come to a church and you don't know everybody. Hopefully you know somebody, but if you don't know anybody, now you know me. I'm the wacky guy leading this group. But my point is, either way, when you look at other people's lives, and you may know some of their lives and know how they've served God and what kind of talents they have and abilities, you begin to appreciate them, not project your gifts and ideas upon them, but let them grow freely in God and let their gifts begin to develop and let God transfer His power through them into your life, instead of trying to make people conform to your idea of a gifted person in God. Hello, are you still with me? And so one of the things that we need to be very careful of is that if we're going to find out what the purposes of God is for us, what He's developing, what other gifts He's developing, what other unique way He is intentionally moving in your life, we want to discover the fullness of all that, because we're the only ones that thwart that. We're the only ones that prevent God from accomplishing that. But if we really are in love with God and love one another and love God and it's all just a big happy family thing, then one of the things we have to realize is each one of us is not only unique, but we're uniquely gifted. And being uniquely gifted, you contribute uniquely to the good of the rest of us. Now, I know you may have gone through hell. Hello? Anybody been there? Yeah. And you may have. But how you conquered that, how you overcame that, how you outlived that, how you purposes to be honorable to God, I'm gonna trust God in this whole situation, this whole fiery trial, this whole thing that I'm going through, I'm going to trust God. And then when you came out on the other side, you were victorious. If you haven't got the victory and the thing that you're struggling with is continuous, you need to go deeper in that. You need to get real serious about getting that out of your life, because those kinds of things will destroy the purposes of God for you. But if you occasionally have to go through issues, not the same issue, you should defeat the issues and conquer these and get the victory and stay victorious over whatever issue. You should never be stuck as a Christian. You should be moving. You should be growing. You should be developing. You should be intentional about, hey, I'm going to be better for God today than I was yesterday. And look out next week, because I'm going to be really much better. Because that's what God's doing. That's exactly what He's doing. Answer this question in your heart. Don't say it out loud, because God forbid the person next to you hears this. But what you're struggling with on a personal level inside, and you haven't got the victory over it yet, am I correct in assuming then that in that struggle, it is cyclical? It keeps coming back. You never really got the victory over. Oh, I got it over this week, I'm okay. Next week, you're in the toilet again. Hello? Excuse me. In the dumpster. That's that. I don't want to offend anyone. And so if I'm correct in this assumption, then what does that mean? That means somewhere along the line, you've missed the purpose here. You missed the reason. You got stuck in it. You didn't let God take you through it and give you the victory over it. Because if you've got the victory over it, it's not going to be an issue in your life anymore. And let me give you a little bit of encouragement. Don't live where it's not healthy. If this is not a healthy situation for you spiritually, now I'm not telling you to divorce your wife just because she burned the dinner last night. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about you as an individual. If you're in a situation, job-wise, whatever-wise, and even a church, if you're in a situation where you're not getting the victory, that you're still staying stunted, you're not growing, there's no excitement to have, you need to get out of that. Because it's not going to change. Still with me? The only way it changes is for you to let God get you completely out of that. Let me ask you something. Drug addicts, and we've had a few here, is the smart thing to do is hang out with your old buddies? No, you get out of there. Run like the wind, man. Get away from all of that. Why? Because it has the power to drag you back into it. And so God's purposes need to become your vision. Are you listening to me? Without a vision, people perish. If you don't have a goal and a vision for your spiritual walk, your spiritual growth, your spiritual development, your fulfilling of God's purposes for you, and you have a purpose. Pastor, what are you talking about? What's my purpose? Hell, I don't know, but I'll tell you what. Finding out what everybody in the church's family tree is all about, that could be a ministry, couldn't it? Hello? Okay. You thought you was retired. You just got a new vision. You understand what I'm saying? God's purposes in us is not to stop in the forward motion of where He's taking us and to fulfill His purposes. He's got so much uniquely designed for us. But let me tell you something. Ideology never becomes reality until it becomes a personal vision. Are you listening to me? It must be a personal vision. That's why when God introduced Christ to the world, that was part of the vision. That was part of the ideology. That was part of the passion of God being shown to man. I want you all to be saved, so I'm bringing you a Savior. That was God's vision and plan. And now He wants to transfer a vision and a plan to you, not only on a church-wide basis. We want the church to be something that where people who are lost can come and find Christ. And we want it to be a place where you can grow and develop without being hindered or slammed or beat up by people who have good intentions but don't really love you. Uh-oh. What is our motivation? If this church's motivation is that we love people, let's just go home. There's a football game on I want to watch, and I'll just get out of here. But if I come to the house of God to fulfill my part of the purpose, the vision of God, is to come here and declare what God's vision is. And I'm telling you, it has to become your vision. Any vision that I believe we can become and I believe is only partial. It has to be a personal vision. That's where God goes from being presented to the world to being in you and having full capacity to work in you. That's where the transfer takes place. Do you not know what Jesus Christ is doing in these verses? If you read there and on, and even the verses prior to that, in fact, you'll read what we talked about in other sermons just before this. But this is what Jesus Christ is doing. He's passing the vision to His disciples. He's giving the vision to them. Hey, man, all the things that I've done, everything that I'm about to experience. You're not going to fully understand it yet, but you will understand it. Because I'm going to go where you can't go. I'm going to give you that, but I want you to understand something. Until you can go where I'm gone, you need to do what my big vision is, and that's to love one another. You know what pleases God? Two things please God: that you love His Son, and that you love each other. Hello? That's the two commandments Jesus gave us. Oh, the Old Testament gave us all kinds of commandments. Don't murder, don't steal, you don't have any other gods, you know the Big Ten. Those are commandments. You'll never please me if you're doing these things. So don't do these things. Jesus boils everything down to two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. Because if you love God and you love your neighbor, you're never going to steal his horse or his wife or his goods. You're going to want to see him succeed. You want to see him become the best. You want to see what uniqueness God can do in his personal life. You want to see what God wants to do with that person in a special way. Isn't it exciting? It is absolutely exciting to see what God's doing in people's lives. And you hear it by all the circumstances. Oh, man, we had all kinds of problems. This happened, this happened, this happened. Oh, but look how God got us out of that. Every one of you have a testimony. That testimony is unique. And that testimony puts you in a position to be of use to God. Because you learned something. That trusting God gives you victory over everything in your life. Still with me? I think it's awesome. I think his whole idea of transferring the vision to his disciples is exactly what we should do as a Christian church and as people. This church should be in the business of transferring the love of Jesus Christ into people's hearts. And it should be in the business of transferring it from your heart to somebody who really needs the love of God. You know, that's why Christmas is such an exciting time, don't you think? I think Christmas is such an exciting time because you listen to this. I watched last night, and they're coming out with a new version of it, which they need to be slapped because that's wrong. Here's the truth. You can't do True Grit again after John Wayne has done True Grit. Hello? Kurt Russell may be okay, but True Grit? No. There are some things you just don't change in life. You know what I'm saying? One of them is, hey, Charmin toilet paper. There's no other toilet paper. Hey, you know what? Best Foods mayonnaise. There's no other mayonnaise. You just can't change those things. Those are absolutes in this world. Go ahead. You were going to. And so you don't do a new miracle on 34th Street. You just don't do that. So I watched it twice last night. Because I want to remember the real one. Maureen O'Hara, and I forget, Natalie Wood as a child is one of them. And I don't remember a whole lot of the other actors. The guy, I don't remember his name, but I remember Maureen O'Hara. And the reason I remember her is because she played in several John Wayne movies. Hello? I mean, you were ahead of me on that, weren't you? But there are some things that you just don't do. And that story has such a good thing because even people that don't claim anything about Christ are celebrating Christ. It's cool. People were doing good things for each other. Good deeds. Showing kindness. Showing deference and showing love to other people that they don't even know. All part of the basis of that story. You know, most of the Christmas story. Even the Christmas Carol. They've redone that one, and there's none as good as the original. I don't remember that old British actor's name, but he was the best. And so many other guys. Even Jean-Luc Picard tried to be Scrooge once. That just doesn't fit. You know, you're waiting for Scotty or somebody to beam him up or LaForge or whatever it is. Anyway, some things you just don't change. But what's interesting is when you get to Christmas time, I know there's Grinches out there. I know there's atheists that stop Christmas parades. What is the matter with us? If you don't like Christmas parades, don't go. Why prevent the rest of us from enjoying and celebrating it? Am I right? Yeah, give God a hand for that one. That's good. But even at this period of time of the year, Grinchy people or people who normally don't show any kindness or anything like that's the whole story of Scrooge anyway. But all of these Christmas stories have some indicator in it of some of the characteristics of a Christian and the attitude of God. Love one another so much that you help one another, you encourage one another, you build one another up, you celebrate their victories and you cry with them in their defeats and you stand with them in all of their battles and you're one together. Because that's what God intended, for us to follow the transfer that he makes to his disciples and continue that today. We try to get people to know Christ personally. We do it on any means available to us. But the whole goal is to reach out as the hand of Jesus Christ and make a difference. God in them. The love of God for them. And it's expressed all kinds of ways. Samaritans, I don't know how many boxes we sent this year. All these kinds of things that we do is our hand of love reaching out to people we don't even know and showing the love of God to people that may not know him. We should always be doing that in church. We should always be loving one another in church. It's part of the transfer. That's part of our responsibility. It's part of what God's purpose is. You'll find that the personal vision that God gives you will be motivated by that one rule. I love people. I love people that God loves. That means you're going to have all kinds of things thrown at you. There are going to be people that believe in things that you don't believe. They may believe in abortion or an alternate lifestyle or whatever, and they're going to come to your church. How are you going to react to them? How are you going to be responsible? You're going to do exactly what Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to do, and that's you're going to love them. You're going to love them. There are movements today to silence Christianity. And it's the very thing they need. It's the very thing they need is the Christ they reject. So how are they going to get past rejecting Christ? They get past rejecting Christ when they have a big demonstration for whatever it is that they're supporting, and you just love them anyway. You show the love of Christ to them anyway. They smack you on one side, you turn your cheek to let them smack you. You show the love of Christ. How does that happen? Every one of you are going to do it differently. Every one of you are going to express it differently. Every one of you are going to be so unique about it that if you'll just surrender to your own uniqueness, all what God is doing in you, you will discover that God will use you in ways you never even imagined. And you'll discover that the talents that you already have and the abilities that you already have are exactly what God can use in your uniqueness to transfer his love to somebody else. Amen? Hey, listen to this. I'm going to embarrass somebody here this morning, I hope. I hope I embarrass them because they need it. You guys know that Chinese restaurant up there? Used to be Kentucky Fried up off 40th there. What's that, West Park? It's a buffet, Chinese buffet thing. Don't go there. I'll tell you why. You'll eat more than you ever wanted to eat. You know, just, buffets are bad, 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 bad. I'm so intense on getting food. Man, there's some peanut chicken, man. I'm getting some of that, and there's some of this like this. And I hear this little, and then I see this hand. I go, what in the world? And I look up, and there's Mike Hansis looking me right in the face. I'm going, hey, what are you doing there? And he started talking to me, and I said, yeah, I'm up here we're doing a job over here. I'm here with my son. And he said, oh, so he's paying, right? I said, yeah, absolutely he's paying. He said, good, I'm working for you. Let me tell you what happened. We're over there, Mike eats his lunch and leaves, and we're over there eating more than we should have ever thought about eating. And you know what's bad about that? I'm thinking about going back again. Anybody with me? And so we walk up to pay our bill. The guy goes, have a nice day. What? I need to pay. No. It's already been paid. That other guy, he pay it. Because they don't talk English, you know. They talk, oh, no, you, that guy, you be here too long. I don't know what he's talking about. I hope I embarrassed the fire out of you, Mike. That was such a nice thing to do. What a wonderful thing to do. And I've tried to do those things for other people, too. I'll give you the same kind of scenario. Some old friends of ours from Christian Life Center were eating there. Oh, I can't, my mind is like frozen river. It just freezes up. Anyway, some ladies from Christian Life Center, their daughter used to be in my junior high class and all kinds of stuff. Margot, Millers, the Millers were there. And so I was eating, but also was Mike Murphy, a friend of mine. Are you still with me? Mike Murphy is a friend of mine, contractor guy, and his pastor from Mountaintop Church were there. And we're all bantering back and forth, and I'm there by myself, and I couldn't get Jeremy to come with me. But anyway, they got up to leave, and I'm the last one there. The Millers are the last ones over here, and I got up, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to pay for their lunch, you know? And so I went up there to pay for my lunch, and, oh, no, you'll be here too long. those two guys, they pay for you. Wonderful. You know, it's broken English, and I'm not doing them a good service, but anyway, really, really nice people. And so I walked up, and these guys had bought my lunch. And so I said, well, I'm going to pay for these two ladies over here anyway, okay? Yeah, so I pay for theirs. And then I get a letter she wrote us a note back, didn't she? Scolding me for buying her lunch. And so what was cool about that is that none of us realized the other people were paying for our lunch. Isn't that cool? Isn't that just a cool thing to do? And so Mike sprung it on me, and I deeply appreciate it. But think about that. Is that not really an illustration of everything I'm telling you this morning? Is that not the uniqueness of the person? Is that not the talent, the ability that guy's got to show a kindness, to demonstrate Christ's love one for another? That's the way I receive it. I don't know how you receive it. But what it is telling me is that we have a very unique opportunity right now in this church and in your personal life. You can make a difference in your own life by choosing to follow the purposes that God has already planted right here. He's already planted it. I can't tell you what it is, but He's already put it there. He's done it through a lifetime of you growing and learning different skills, different abilities, having different experiences. We need all of that. The church of God needs, God's church, not just this denomination, but God's church needs your experiences. You will help me to understand what's happening to me when I'm going through something similar to what you went through. And so God transfers. He makes a big transfer. He transfers Himself into this world, and then He transfers that into us, and then He begins to transform us. And that's the uniqueness of His purpose. The uniqueness is, what's He doing in you? What in the world is God up to? You not only need to ride the tide, but you need to do it purposely. Whatever God's doing, I want Him to do it greatly. I want Him to do it with full force, full intention. Because I assure you, God's never going to do anything bad to you. It's going to have purpose, and good is His intention. Why? Well, Jesus said it. I want you to love each other as I have loved you. That's the transfer. God is loving us, and now He's loving you so much, you're going to love somebody else. And in the process, funny thing, we're going to look at you and see, not you, not going to see Marlene or Josh or any of you. We're going to see Jesus Christ in you. How is it that you can see Jesus Christ? Look at His people. Huh? I'm going to close with this, and I am. Closing with this. Whenever there's a disaster, who are the first people into a disaster? Christian people. Typhoon roars through. Gleanings sends those big containers full of dried fruit and dried vegetables. And they send them in there and feed hundreds and hundreds of people with one container. First people into a disaster. God's people. Christian people. Let me tell you something else. Remember when the hurricane hit down in Louisiana and all that? Who were the first ones in there? Now listen, the governor of the state of Louisiana bailed. They had buses to send down there to rescue people. Never sent the buses. Didn't send any rescue teams. It took FEMA months to get down there. And the trailers that they bought to take down there rotted before they could be used. Got mold in them. had to be destroyed. Can't live in mold. Are you listening to me? But who were the first people down there? Samaritan's Purse with their trucks down there to feed the people, get water to the people. Then the governments came along. You name the disaster, and it's God's people are the first ones there. Why? Why do we do things like that? Oh, it's a great humanitarian thing. Baloney! It may be partly because it's a humanitarian thing to do. We're in there because we love Jesus Christ and we want them to know Christ. This is a disaster for you. Your house is underwater. We're here to help you, give you food, blankets, keep you safe until we can get you back into a house. We're here to help. And churches from all over America went down into the South to help during the hurricane season. Rebuilt homes. Godly people went in there. Why? Because they love Jesus Christ. And they wanted to transfer the love of Christ to people in need. That simple. Oh, by the way, they were far more effective too than other agencies. Because there's just way too much red tape to other agencies. Okay, well, we got to get a committee together to talk about how we're going to do this. And then we get somebody to procure these things that we need to send down here. Then we need to get somebody to procure them to truck it down there. Then we need to procure people in order to distribute these things. Baloney! Christians bring it with them and they give it out. Don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't appreciate the efforts of all that, but I'm just so proud of God's people. Doing what God asked us to do. Let's stand, shall we? Now, I want to encourage you with something this right now, because we've talked a lot about the gifting, and we've talked a lot about God's purposes, and upcoming next year, you're going to get an opportunity to demonstrate your gifts to God, because next year, we're going to be doing something. I'm not going to give it all to you now, because I want to present it to you at the first of the year, but we have some big things in mind. I'm tired of thinking small, and I'm tired of dealing with small things, and I'm tired of, my wife and I were talking about a man that puts his hand to the plow and turns back, he's not worthy of the kingdom, and I said, yeah, but when he's plowing, he's going to hit a rock or two. Till you get all the rocks out of the field. I told her, it's not the big rocks that are the problem. It's all them stinking little rocks you got to plow through. I want to think a little bit bigger than the little rocks. I don't want to be complaining about the devil bugging me all week long and preventing me from doing something for Jesus Christ. God's doing something in us, every one of us, everyone, and together He's doing great things in us. And we're going to accomplish something for the King, great for the King. And so what God is offering you this morning, I believe, is an opportunity within yourself. I'm not taking lists and I'm not getting names. I believe God moves by opportunity. He gives you an opportunity. And I think big opportunities are coming our way. Why? Because the anointing of God is on us. The hand of God is on us. We're compelled. We're driven. We've got a vision. We want to see it come to pass. We're driven for God with the right motive. We love each other. We want to see you succeed. We want to see the best, better than you ever thought you could be. In whatever way God wants to do that, that's awesome. So I'm sharing with you this morning what I think God wants you to know. And I don't want you to think that this is a personal motive. If it was a personal motive, I'd ask you all to take up an offering and buy me a Harley. So it's not a personal motive. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is God is offering us an opportunity. Like Saturday, breaking down walls between churches. Churches need not be fighting each other, competing with one another. I just don't believe in that. I believe God is using us because that's who we are. He's using them because that's who they are. But that doesn't mean we can't fellowship. Have a good time and a good meal together. I just think that's God. Great things are coming our way. Great things. But you have to have big faith for great things. So I'm thinking God's given us an opportunity this morning to make this the best Christmas we've ever done. Not because we gave gifts, not because we've done all kinds of missionary things and extensions of love to other people, quilts and whatever, but because we want the purposes of God to be fulfilled in us. I want my family this year to focus more on what the reason for the season than the gifts they're going to get at Christmas. Amen? I want to not just do good deeds because that's what Christians do and be like Scrooge. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to be what God wants me to be, but I want to be better than that. Does that make sense? This is God's purpose. I want to go above what God's purpose is. And so what I think God is offering us is an opportunity to make the kind of commitment to Him this morning that says, Lord, wherever You take me, whatever You use me, make it so unique and so different that it fits my personality. But let it be something great for You. For You. Let me do all I do for You. And let that be in a hand extended to everybody I come in contact with. So I want you to pray that way this morning. If that's what you feel led with me, to pray that way. If not, just pray, God bless the wacky guy. Amen? Father, I love You this morning. And I believe You're stirring our hearts and our lives to break from routine, to get outside the box, to think bigger than what we are thinking now, to know that You can use a smaller church like ours to do mighty things. And we want to make a big difference, has been our theme for 28 years. We want to make a big difference before Jesus Christ returns. So, Father, let this be the year we break over the top and do great things for You. And see that You accomplish much for Your kingdom and for Your glory. And we will always praise You because You're the one that's done it all anyway. So we give blessing and honor to God and thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? God bless you. Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.